Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Lisnick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
Well, the new Congress underway, all sorts of things pledged to be passed and done within the first 100 days of the new president's administration. And there's a new congressman on the grounds from Illinois, representing the 8th District, and that is Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. He, of course, ran for that job several years ago against Tammy Duckworth. She won, but he waited for his day. That day has come, and now we'll find out if he's happy that it did. Well, welcome to the podcast, Congressman. Good to talk to you.
Hey, thank you so much, Paul. I'm so happy to be on with you again.
You know, and of course, it's one of those, be careful what you wish for, you may get it. What are your overall expectations for the next couple of years, if not 4 years, under President Trump?
Well, first of all, you know, thanks again for having me on. I am really humbled and honored to serve in this office and to represent the great people of the 8th Congressional District and in Illinois. You know, what the future holds, I'm not really sure. You know, obviously, President Trump has talked about a lot of aspirations of his, but at the same time, he has to deal with a House Republican caucus, and they are not completely united around all of the next steps to take as this presidency unfolds, at least legislatively. So we'll have to see what exactly happens, but I'll just tell you my initial impression of Congress. Two things. One, I still get goosebumps walking through the rotunda of the U.S. Congress. I still feel it's...
Some have said that never goes away, by the way. Never goes away.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. And, you know, it really is or can be the temple to our democracy. Now, have people kind of in some ways desecrated it over the years with hyper-partisanship and so forth, perhaps, but I still aspire to the day when we can really live, you know, make it live to the, you know, the great potential of America. The second thing, my second impression is the individuals that I've met on both sides of the aisle, I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats, in many cases or most cases are very, very impressive people. With wonderful personal stories of accomplishment, and they're very talented. So there's no shortage of talent, in my humble opinion. It's just that the talent hasn't come together, and unfortunately, you know, on a lot of days, Congress doesn't get as much done as I'd like. So how we go about getting things done in Congress is a long-term and a short-term project for me, and I hope to, you know, move things forward in my own way.
Of course, with the president's agenda being, you know, the destruction of Obamacare as quickly as possible, with a replacement that we, to date, as we're talking, have not heard anything about in terms of what it's going to be. But that has the potential of creating bad blood. You said on my Politics Tonight TV show during the election season, you work across the aisle well, and I mean, I think it's your nature. I've known you for a while, and I think it is your nature to sort of reach out. But do you see where partisanship can kind of take over in the process, or and how do you expect to avoid it if you do?
Well, this is my initial impression regarding the ACA debate. Obviously, I'm against the repeal of the ACA. Are there problems with Obamacare or the ACA, its formal title? Of course. But I say, you know, don't end it, mend it. We need to work together with Republicans, and there are some smart solutions, by the way, on both sides of the aisle to some of the technical issues with Obamacare that we should implement together in a unified fashion. However, if they wish to repeal it, they should replace it with something as good or better. And now I've gone onto the floor of the U.S. Congress at least two times, I'll probably go a third time next week, to talk about the economic catastrophe that would happen if Obamacare is repealed but not replaced. And that is what they are actually talking about as a potential possibility.
Do you really think the Republicans have the guts to do that? I understand they've all promised repeal, but you're now seeing, as polls are coming out, all of a sudden this just got real. And people who were screaming about Obamacare, all of a sudden who are on it, are going, wait a minute, don't take this from me. Do they chicken out and find some way out of this, like repeal it, but it doesn't take effect for a couple of years kind of a thing?
It's possible, but here's the thing. There's a couple possibilities. Let me lay out three possibilities.
Sure.
Okay, they are going to repeal it. They have already taken the first votes, we know. So the question is, one, are they going to replace it with something with similar coverage, or two, delay the repeal and the replacement for 2, 3, 4 years, however long, or the third possibility, which I'm hearing about, which came up last week from folks in the Freedom Caucuses, no, we don't want to repeal it. We don't want to replace it, I should say. We want to repeal it, but we don't want to replace it if replacing it means spending money. That is wrong. That is absolutely wrong. The economic impact in Illinois is at least 100,000 jobs and about $13 to $14 billion in gross state economic output. And to my district, the 8th district, we're talking 4,000 jobs and about $550 million. So this is not trivial. This is really significant. And if they decide to delay everything, which was another possibility, and I think you mentioned that a minute ago, what you're doing is you're basically going to scare off all participation in Obamacare by the various private entities, private insurance companies and others, because they obviously have to foot some upfront investment cost. And if they're not going to reap the gain over time, they're going to pull out and we're going to have chaos, which is basically the same as repealing it without a replacement. So that's what I see right now. And without a replacement, I mean, that would be so irresponsible. I think it would be the height of the height of folly.
Well, I do have to ask you this. You know, one of the things, they can repeal it. They don't need Democrats to do the repealing.
Correct.
They do need Democrats to do the replacing.
Correct.
Certainly in the Senate, for sure.
Correct.
And so my question is this, because, listen, I've always felt that Democrats kind of fight much more weakly than do Republicans. Sorry, but it just plays that way. And I say that because, you know, when President Obama came into office from day one, it was a, this guy's going to get nothing done. Trump comes into office and Democrats go, well, we might be able to work with him. So that's why I say that. But here's my question. If indeed Republicans come up with something to replace that the Democrats say, this just stinks, this is where we are not about to help you. And I know word on the Senate side has come down from Schumer. We are not going to help them. Don't you think Republicans will do a great job of now convincing the country as time goes on that it is the Democrats who have taken away health care, not Republicans?
Look, I don't know how the politics would exactly play out, Paul. But one thing is for sure, which is that the moment that they repeal, substantively repeal, not just pass the reconciliation bill, which they did last Friday, they own the healthcare system at that point, because now you're setting in motion, you know, certain actions which become very hard to take back, as it were. And I think you are correct that for them to actually pass a replacement measure would require Democratic votes. But, you know, I think that we should argue for a replacement that is as good, if not better, than what we saw under the Affordable Care Act. You know, if they don't want to do it that way, I think they will feel the full weight of American public opinion against them.
If they do come up with something, I mean, because, by the way, President Trump has said he wants Medicare, he wants health care for everybody. He's talking about universal, not just universal access, which is the Paul Ryan mantra, but universal coverage, which Bernie Sanders would be thrilled about.
Right.
That just, you know, that just sounds like it's a quagmire. It's a mess, because I just don't see any plan that would accomplish that. And especially when you want to keep things like pre-existing conditions, all those pieces, which have to get paid for. It's like somebody doesn't understand reality.
You know, I would be thrilled if he actually follows through on what he said the other day to the Washington Post about basically universal coverage. To me, that means, you know, either some version of the Affordable Care Act or a public option or Medicare for All or something. I don't know what he has in mind, quite frankly, because he hasn't actually told us what he's talking about. But you're right about one thing, Paul, which is that that is different than what we're hearing from the House Republican leadership. They are not talking about universal coverage. In fact, last week they made it clear that they were talking about universal access. And if the number of uninsured rises, that is not an issue that they really care about right now.
So if, as you get underway, and you know, again, we'll see where all of this goes. One of the plans they talk about is health, you know, personal health savings care. I'm supposed to put, you know, X dollars away every month, use that to pay for the health care. And I'm thinking to myself, if any kind of disastrous medical emergency came around, it's wiped out in 3 seconds. And
right.
If the market crashes, it's wiped out in 2 seconds.
Right.
I don't know how that becomes the answer.
It doesn't. I mean, that's I mean, look, can health savings accounts or, you know, basically tax-free accounts help with families who are saving for medical expenses? Yes. You know, my family and I, we have signed up for such an account, but it's for it's for much smaller expenses, right?
Right.
Like braces for your child or something that, you know, you can plan for and manage.
You put a few
right?
thousand dollars away and you get that thing paid for.
Yeah, you get that back. You get the benefit. But that is not a solution for, you know, the woman whose husband was just diagnosed with leukemia and now needs to undergo massive procedures to save his life. That actually, that was a story that was told at our at a rally at SEIU. I attended and spoke at on Sunday. Just briefly, I don't want to go into all the details, but essentially her husband was diagnosed with leukemia. And he needed treatment immediately. He got the treatments, and then she called the insurance company very sheepishly, and she said, look, the bills are running into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't know how to afford this. And the woman on the other end of the line from the insurance company said, don't worry, President Obama has signed a law which lifts lifetime caps
right.
on your insurance, and now so you don't have to worry about this.
And that's one of the things that gets repealed. That affects
yes.
everybody. You know, people are talking about the 20 million people who lose their health care.
Thank you.
How about the other 80% who provisions like that, lifetime caps, are gone under Obamacare?
Thank
so many
you.
Things
Thank
that
you.
That impact people on a well, I shouldn't say daily basis, but when they need them, it's everybody.
It's everybody. There are at least three or four provisions that affect everybody, and there are more. But these are the ones that are very popular and come to mind right away. If you have a child under the age of 26, he or she can join the parent plan. Two, there's no discrimination against someone with pre-existing conditions. Three, no lifetime cap. Four, a woman can now pay the same as a man for health insurance coverage. It used to be, I don't know if you remember the days of when you'd fill out your employer-sponsored plan forms, but they'd ask the question, are you planning to get pregnant? Which was another way of saying, are you a woman? And so, in that case, you paid more, and we accepted it as a, you know, at that time as a society, but no longer. That's just not how we do business now. So, you can't take the good without the bad. The Republicans know that those provisions are extremely popular. They know they have to somehow figure out a way that those stay, but what they're going to quickly find out is. That would mean including other provisions of Obamacare, which they also want to repeal now. So there's no free lunch in these things.
It's going to be interesting, too, if whatever they do, somehow, you know, Trump has a way of convincing people that this is great stuff and how many people will buy into that.
Well, you know, but Paul, if I could just say yeah. on that point, you know, people know, I mean, it's one thing for him to tweet out there this or that about subject matter that people aren't, you know, directly in contact with, but people know about healthcare. They know what affects them on a daily basis, and you know, people will figure it out right away if their child gets kicked off their their parents' plan.
That's going to hit them very fast.
Under the age of 26. Hey, they will not be happy if that happens.
Congressman, just a little time left. You will be working on education as a committee assignment, House Education Workforce Committee. And so that means you get Betsy DeVoe coming your way, most likely. She, of course, from what we can see, all about charter schools. People are not, Democrats are not happy about it. What's your thoughts in your work in education?
So I'm honored to serve on this committee, and I do believe that there's some opportunity to get some things done this year because we have the Higher Education Reauthorization Act coming up, which basically affects vocational training, community colleges, and higher ed, which are really in need of help across the country, certainly in Illinois, given what's happening in Springfield. With regard to this Mrs. DeVos, or DeVos, who has been nominated, I have very, very serious concerns about her, given her track record in Michigan. She wanted to privatize a bunch of schools without being held accountable for the results. That's a big problem for me. I think that as a small businessman, I was held accountable by my shareholders and founders of the company. That's how the private sector works. If she wanted to do this, it was a horrible idea in the first place. But essentially, she was basically taking public dollars and sending them into private pockets. Secondly, private charter schools and for-profit private schools are not the solution to our broader problems in public education. The vast, vast majority of children attend public schools. I certainly did growing up. Those public schools need help. Could we potentially have public charters in different places? Yes, because they would possibly be held to the same standards. They wouldn't be allowed to cherry pick students to goose up their performance and so forth. But that's not what he's talking about. So I have some strong concerns.
You may have a battle there. Almost out of time. Very quickly, I wanted to get your reaction to the 50 likely growing number of folks not attending the I don't know what that final number is going to turn out to be, but attending the inauguration. What's your thought about people who are trying to make a point by saying either that Trump was not legitimately elected, which probably is not necessarily true, I understand the point, but other congressmen who basically say, look, it's what this guy represents and how he treats people, that's why I'm not going. What's your thought?
I'm not going to be critical of anybody who decides how they want to proceed. In my own case, I'll be attending out of respect for the office of the presidency and our constitutional process. What I do think is definitely true, Paul, is that we got to lower the temperature of the rhetoric, and Donald Trump has to moderate his rhetoric if he wants to get anything done in this country. He really is a fork in the road, Paul. Either he can lower the temperature, he can avoid the polarization and all that nonsense that he tweets about against different minorities and people of different religious beliefs and so forth, which really sort of divide us. Or he can move forward and try to bring America together. But that's his choice to make. And if he decides he wants to bring America together and do the right thing by American people, he will likely find some partners on our side. But if he does the opposite, we're going to fight him. There's no choice. We cannot go down the road of the balkanization of the United States and basically dividing into different people based on religious beliefs or the color of our skin or how we look or where we're from or anything like that.
We're going to see that battle unfold, I think, over the next couple of years, certainly.
Yes, sir.
Finally,
yes,
let's end on a good note. The perks of being a congressman, you were hanging at the White House with the Cubs there, my, and with your son, VJ, right, who got to enjoy that. And my question is, first of all, why didn't you take me? That's question number one. Number
were you
two,
available? I don't know.
Well, if I was invited, I would have run out there. Number two, since the president is not a big Cubs fan, did he give you the jersey or something to take, and can I have it? And then number three, I have had White House food at a party. How was the food? You got to love it.
Man, it was it was kind of a pinch me moment. I never thought the Chicago Cubs would ever be celebrated in that way.
You weren't alone on that one.
Yeah, and then secondly, I never thought I'd be there for the opportunity. We were notified like Thursday that this was going to happen, yeah. And so my first question is, can I bring my son? Because he's the world's biggest Cubs fan. And,
so I was not the first thing that occurred to you.
Hey, man, family comes first. sorry, but
brother
so
Vijay, Raja.
So Vijay came, and what can I say? It was I just getting a chance to meet some of the players, but also getting a chance to meet Ryan Sandberg and Billy Williams and Ferguson
goodness.
Jenkins, who were there.
Jose Cardinal,
and oh my God, I got goosebumps just meeting Billy Williams. Man, that guy, all of them are so gracious, but he was incredibly friendly, especially to my son. And I thought the president summed it up when he said that the Cubs, they represent the very best of America, and in a time when we're so divided, you know, we can come together around this really great team, not just, you know, in not just as players, baseball players, but as human beings. And so I was just so honored and thrilled to be there and to represent my district, which I know has a lot of Cubs fans as well.
Oh, no question. And I actually thought the president hit the point when he asked Theo to take over the DNC.
But did you see what Theo said as well about issuing a midnight pardon?
Absolutely. Oh, we broadcast it.
For being a Sox fan.
Absolutely. We broadcast it all. So I was
oh,
living vicariously.
Okay, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, he did a great job.
WGN had it. You know it.
Yeah, he did a great job, and it was just it's one of those things where, you know, in a time when there's some challenging news, we can come together around this great news story. And you know, I also like how, you know, he's a Sox fan, and he said, I am the number one Cubs fan among all Sox.
That's right. He had his lines ready.
He's a good politician. How about that guy?
Congressman, I hope that will be the first of many wonderful things to happen over the next couple of years in your first term.
Thank you, my friend.
Enjoy it. We will continue to stay in touch as time goes on. Never be a stranger to the podcast or the TV
Absolutely.
Show, of course.
Absolutely.
And I
just want to say one other thing, which is that I'm just so delighted that you folks have done such a great job over the years with Politics Tonight, and you personally, you're just one of the top interviewers around. So congratulations on all your success.
Well, that is very kind for you to say, and I'm gonna use that quote in every podcast from now on.
Okay, do it.
What an intro. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, thank you for your kindness, for your time here. We'll stay
thank
in touch.
You, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You can feel the energy as you listen to that, can't you? That was, of course, you know the song Money Money, but that was done from a show that I loved called Grease, You're the One That I Want. And it was back in 2007 where my next guest came in second. Should have won the thing. I think it was rigged. But anyway, it came in second to getting cast to play the role of Danny Zuko on Broadway. But Chicago audiences know this guy from other so many things he's done, starring in Hairspray when it was on the national tour here in Chicago, and when it was in Las Vegas production. If you're a soap opera fan, you watched him as Hawk on Days of Our Lives. So many different things, and he's still going at it and doing great stuff. And I tracked him down because I've always been a huge fan of his, and I found him, and he's joining me, and he's Austin Miller. And Austin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. We first met during Hairspray when you played when you played Link Larkin here in Chicago. What did you think of Chicago, by the way, in your time here? Because you're a Texas boy.
Oh, I love Chicago. The only downfall of all the time that I've spent in Chicago has been in the dead of winter. So I've never gotten to really enjoy, you know, like the lake and the outdoor activities and stuff like that. But the city is you know, it's – here's the thing. New York City is so – frantic and dirty, and I feel like Chicago offers you a lot of the same things that New York City does without the crowds and the dirt.
Yeah, I've always described Chicago as, in many ways, as a clean New York.
Yes.
Because, I love New York, absolutely love it. And by the way, you're doing some stuff now. What's going on with you now in New York? You've been working on some stuff right there.
Yes. It's been a really terrific year. I just closed Trip of Love here in the city, and we got a good solid year run out of it at the Schubert Stage 42.
Yeah.
And I think the show is going to have a life beyond. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think a West End company is very possible, and probably sooner than later. So,
oh, cool.
That's sort of an ongoing thing. And
that's cool. And there's other stuff I want to talk to you about. That was really what I was referencing when I said, what have you been doing? So I knew that was coming up. And again, for people that I got to tell you, I had told you this just in our conversations before this. I don't typically watch those kind of casting shows like The Greaser, the one that I want. But I was such a fan of yours that I loved watching you through it. And I think you got robbed.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. It was the weirdest experience because, as anyone who has been on reality television can tell you, there's no reality in reality TV.
Right.
It's
that was really right. Yeah, that's what a great question to ask you. How much? I mean, was it real to you, or were you sort of? Is it far more structured than people even will ever know?
It's far more structured, and as someone who had done so much scripted television before, I sort of eventually came to realize that if I gave the producers the soundbite that they were looking for right away, that we all got to go home sooner. So toward the end, I'd say to them, tell me what you need and I'll say it.
I love it.
Well, and then we all got to go home.
And it didn't matter because you were in Grease anyway. And so you you started in that. You were in Starlight Express. By the way, you can roller skate, right?
Sure.
Okay. so many great things. What I really want to do, I want to turn to the future because you've got something that I read about that is really cool, and people should know about this. It's what everybody can check you out in, and it's called The Gentleman Caller. Can I get the website now? Because it's up and running. Yeah,
please.
Yeah,
please.
TheGentlemanCaller.net. And as I look at it, what it's saying to me is that Austin Miller is about to be the new, the modern day, fill in your adjective, Martha Stewart. Fair enough.
That's very fair, yes. And that's exactly what I'm trying to achieve. In fact, I took a break just now, to speak with you I was installing a mosaic tile backsplash in my kitchen. But that's my goal to
Install mosaic tiles? Can you come to Chicago? I've got work for you if that's what this is about.
Okay, I'm packing up my tool belt. I'm on my way. But I'm trying to make, things like that accessible to people. And what I'm trying to instill is I just want people to live their most gracious life. And that's what The Gentleman Caller is all about. It's about, writing thank yous and carrying handkerchiefs and enhancing your home and eating beautiful food as best you can and gardening. And it's really all encompassing the way that Martha used to do when she had her syndicated TV show. And I really look to her as a reference, and I'm just trying to sort of update and put my own spin on that sort of thing. Yeah.
So if it's everything from folding napkins to installing tile, I mean, it sounds like you're the, the HG network all in one.
One-stop shop.
Yeah, I mean, is it literally one episode we might be at a dinner party learning how to eat properly or etiquette, that kind of thing? Or and another one we might be learning how to make something that's fabulous to eat, and then the next one we're building the bathroom?
You hit the nail on the head, yes. And what I try to do is marry my projects so that, if in an episode I am growing cucumbers, and then the next segment we'll say there's three segments in a half hour, right? So first segment, I'm growing the cucumber. Second segment, I'm pickling the cucumber. Third segment, I'm doing some recipe that involves the finished product. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So thank God that was your answer. I wasn't sure where that was going to go. But yeah, that was
yeah, I like
excellent things to do with the cucumbers.
Hand, you know?
And so now is this show, because I've not seen the show, because it doesn't, it's in process right now, it's in production. Is it just you? Are there people in there with you? Are you working with regular people to show them things? What are we going to see?
You're going to see a lot of guests. The premise is that I'm still, you know, a working actor, doing a show at nighttime or whatever, and that I engage people that are around me, and whether they're like, you know, New York celebrities or whether they're local farmers, or it's not going to be celebrity based. It's going to be normal people and famous people, and just to keep it interesting and spicy. And I really like soliciting other people's point of view, because everyone has like family recipes and things like that that they're usually eager to share. And I like to take people's, you know, family traditional ideas and things like that, and then kind of give them my own workaround and, you know, have that person as a guest on my show.
So where did this come from? I mean, here you are, as you say, a working actor on television, in movies. In fact, actually, just briefly, I want to mention you have a show that will be coming on Here TV. It'll start airing in the spring.
Yes.
Called Mess. What is that going to be about?
Mess.
Yeah, what's that about?
Mess is it's kind of the root of Next to Normal or Angels in America.
Oh, okay.
It's about a young man, a very young man, who is diagnosed with HIV. And it's about his journey into making his life livable. Yeah. And the support of his friends. And I'm sort of starting to fall into a new category, or it's a new category for me. And I don't know how familiar you are with Sex and the City, but I've been started to be cast as like the big, you know,
I thought you were going to say Carrie. I didn't know where you were going to.
No,
I mean,
no.
Samantha,
no,
maybe Samantha. You're too nice to be Samantha. No.
No, I am not a Samantha either. I'm a big. Can I say ASS hole?
You can spell it. Yeah,
I'm
sure.
yeah.
I think podcast. I think we're okay.
I'm like that. I'm the asshole boyfriend, and you know, hopefully things work out. We'll see. Here, TV has already ordered season 2. Of Mess, and they'll actually be the executive producers on it.
Wow.
So we'll see where Tom, my character, goes in season 2, but I've been told that I'm back. So.
Okay, well, now I know you don't die in season 1 when I watch it.
No. No.
All right. I still think you should be Samantha, but all right. So that's coming on Here TV, but I digress a bit to get into that, because I want to come back to the gentlemancaller.net. My point is, you're a working actor. You're constantly doing television, film projects. What led you to say, this is what I need to be doing? Or is this kind of who you are around the house?
It is. People have been encouraging me to do this for years, and I don't know why. 2016, I was like, this is it. The time is right. Let it happen. It's been something my agents were like, when you need to do this, you need to do this. And it's because I fancy myself kind of a jack of all trades. And I'm not saying this like to toot my own horn or whatever, but I acquired a lot of skills when I was growing up. My dad was a builder, and my dad and my grandfather, you know, they always gardened and had massive vegetable gardens. And I come from a long line of exceptional cooks. And because my mom couldn't order any of my dance costumes when I was growing up, she had to sew them all. Hmm. So when I was about 8 years old, she was like, I ain't doing this by myself. And she taught me how to sew. And we basically ran a sweatshop. But
well, there's an episode right there, starting your own sweatshop.
Exactly.
That's what we want to encourage.
Exactly. But, you know, I had this, you know, this, all these skills, and wanted to, you know, make them work for other people and encourage people to do things that they maybe don't know how to do, like sew or upholster something, or, you know, hang tile, barbecue, whatever.
It's just a total mix. So you kind of never know what's going to be coming unless you tell us here's what's next week. But and then the phrase the gentleman caller, you and I talked about that, but that's not a random name. Where did you come up with that?
Well, in the course of
you can tell that story, right? I thought the story was clean. It was good.
Okay, here's the story. Sometimes I get a little methody in my acting, and I like to handle my own props. And I feel like I always give a girl a ring in a show. It's just something. In Hairspray, I did it. In Trip of Love, I did it. It's just one of those things. And
typecasting. So, we need somebody to give a ring. It's Austin Miller.
Pretty much, exactly. It's okay. At the bottom of my resume. So I didn't want to bust into the female principal's dressing rooms, and so I'd knock three times, and I'd say, "Gentleman caller," you know, just so I, just so their tits were in. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to be rude. But as things evolved and time went by, I would knock and I would only say "gentlemen," and the girls would answer "caller," and then I would know it was okay to go in. And so I sort of assumed it as a moniker. And when I was thinking about what I was going to title the gentleman caller, I was like, "That's perfect." You know, I fancy myself kind of a gentleman, and I'm coming into people's homes with my website and with the show once we start, you know, shooting all the time. And I just thought it was perfect.
And you used it.
So that's where we are. Now, I am the gentleman caller.
So where people are going to see this initially, and let me get this right, there's a website they can go to now, thegentlemancaller.net. Yep. You can go there right now and check it out. Hopefully listeners will do that. But the idea is that this eventually appears on television. And actually, this could be like a Home and Garden Network show, right? An HG show, something like that.
Yes. Yes,
is,
exactly.
Can I ask where that stands now, or is that in the works?
The pilot will happen in the first half of 2017. And right now what I'm doing is trying to really build the traffic on the website and bring in advertisers. And I've already solicited a couple of companies and just stay on top of the social media so that people are aware of it.
Yeah.
So that once the pilot is shot and I start shopping it, which is what you have to do, that there's somebody who'll be eager to buy it, you know. And, of course, the ultimate goal is, you know, syndication and having pots and pans with your name on them at Macy's.
Gotcha. Emeril Lagasse. No, I've got the Austin Millers. What do you have? Exactly.
Exactly.
You'll be on TV, and if you order now, we're going to send you one free, and all you got to do is pay this, which always ticks me off, by the way, that separate processing fee.
I know.
So please, Austin, when you sell your own stuff, if you're going to give me the second one free, please just make it free. Don't charge me the processing fee.
Okay. I'm going to post it right now.
All right.
Yeah.
So the website is thegentlemancaller.net. And can people still check you out at austinmiller.net? Can I give them that one?
Yeah. Yes. That one's a little bit under construction, though.
I know. I went looking at that and some pictures. Things are yet to come. I kept checking back. I'm waiting.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, I need an unpaid intern. I'm just putting this out there. If you want to be my unpaid intern and you're listening right now.
I thought you were asking me to do it. I was going to volunteer my home to have you come out and do your first episode. I've got these baseboard things that have to be done, and it might be an excellent first episode of your show.
Oh, my gosh. And I am terrific at hanging at putting in a baseboard.
Is that what I'm saying?
Is that a standing offer? Do you have a timeline on this?
At the rate I'm going, it is a standing offer, yes.
Okay.
That'll work. Hey, Austin, I want to
thank you. Do you have a compound miter saw?
If I knew what that was, I would certainly say yes or no.
Okay, so you're telling me to bring my own tools.
Yeah, exactly. The tools, the cucumbers, okay. They all got to come with you because Yeah, I am not Martha. Although I will tell you, there was a hardware store. I won't say the name, I guess, but there was a hardware store right near my house that just went out of business. It's part of a chain, and it was just this location that went out of business. And I went in. I bought hammers. I had them walk me around because everything was 50 and 70 and now 80% off. I don't even know what I'm buying. I might have bought a miter saw. I don't even know what I bought. But it was it was cheap. It was 80% off. You got to buy. I was buying drill bits. I don't have a drill. Who cares? Buy it at 80%.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
You might want to come to Chicago and check this store out before it's gone.
All right. I'll keep that in mind.
The Gentleman Caller, gentlemancaller.net. Austin Miller, you are such a talent. As you know, I've been a great fan of yours for such a long time, and I just love that you're growing
in this
way and doing good things. And by the way, there's a little, you know, back when you were here in Hairspray, you may not remember, but you and I were in an event, took some pictures along with Bruce Valanche, other people in the cast, and along with a can of hairspray from that show. It's actually a framed thing on my little prop hallway that I have. So you are actually always in the hallway of my home.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. I love that.
See that? Yeah. So you got to come back to Chicago. I wish you luck. Keep us informed. Anything new develops, we'll let our listeners know as well.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for the support. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you got it. Austin Miller, check him out, thegentlemancaller.net. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.